Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have another fascinating guest for you. I know I say they're all great because they are. And this one is no different. In fact, I have to be honest, I ended up talking to our guest for about 10 minutes before the show. So I'm going to now share her with you. Our guest is Peggy Burdick. She is a financial expert, financial coach, an author, and she is known as the Financial Whisperer. The website is thefinancialwhisperer.com. And the book, she's written a book, and this is just fascinating. It's never about the money, even when it is, how to untangle your emotions from your money. And Peggy, are you there?
I am, David.
How's that for an introduction?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think we just need a drum roll and we're all set. But thank you for being so gracious to invite me to be on your show.
You're very welcome. And my enthusiasm is sincere because I think it's absolutely fascinating what you're doing. So share with our listeners a little bit about what you do and what the book is about, and we'll just dive right in.
Okay. So here is the problem. The problem are people are disconnected, and I specialize in dealing with women first because that's kind of the gate that they came into many years ago when I was a mortgage broker. So I'm really familiar with the way women think about money or don't think about money and their behaviors that result from that. I wrote the book because of my own personal journey, and I wanted to be able to share with other people, but I wanted to really tell people that you don't need a master's degree or have a PhD or even who have gone to college to figure out what is going on in your life and why you have all these financial issues. The book really focuses on childhood feelings, and this is my premise. Your early childhood feelings control your present-day behaviors. Regardless of what they are, it could be money, it could be weight, it could be antidepressants, it doesn't matter. But when you build self-awareness and you go back and it's painful, it feels like walking on broken glass at times, but when you go back and start to dismantle what happened, that's where you start to take control and power over your present-day behaviors.
So it's really that personal reflection and looking back and understanding how you feel about things that helps you get a better handle on how your relationship with money.
Your relationship with anything, because the key word is relationship. For me, it was about money. For someone else, something else. But I'm going to only... Here's the irony, David, is that in my workshops and coaching practices, we never talk about money. We never, never talk about it.
I think that's fascinating.
I know. It's ironic. And that's the title of the book. That's kind of where it came from. Because it's not about money. It's about relationships.
You know what? You've nailed it. I mean, you've nailed it. And I told you before we started the program, you know, one of the things that I find myself very often doing in doing the financial work that I do, because it is all about the money very often, but then what we realize in the process is that it's not, because I sometimes tell my clients, and they kind of look at me a little puzzled at first. I said, you know, it's money, and we need to plan with it, and we need to make important decisions about it, but you know what? At the end of the day, it is just money, and
exactly.
You need to live your life. So, you know, if we're deciding when somebody's going to retire, how they're going to invest, how conservatively or how aggressively, how they go about protecting themselves from whatever things may happen to them financially, at the end of the day, it's not about the money. It's about what the money can do and how they position themselves to live the life and have the relationship they want to have with their spouse and the world around them.
Well, yeah, because here's something funny. What is the difference between money and a hamburger?
Yeah, I don't know. This sounds loaded. Go ahead.
Well, but here's what it is. It's the relationship you have to it.
Yeah.
That's what matters. Because if I'm going to eat a hamburger, and maybe I shouldn't because it's fat and it's bad for me, and I can have an apple or a hamburger, or I can, with money, I can spend it, I can save it, I can live with fear, or I can do all these other things. It's all about how I relate to something, because money is just paper and coins. But we give it so much power. We give it so much energy. That's why it has all the control.
It's revered. It's put in a spotlight. It's held up. Of course, sometimes it's a negative tone, or the people get a negative tone. You know, the current attack on the people that have been more successful or who are more well off in the media is certainly a reflection of that. But in a kind of a reverence sort of way, you know, we look at money and say, if only I had, then X, Y, and Z.
Well, yeah, but you see, here's the flaw, and I had this conversation with someone last week, is that so many people, and I can only speak about people in this country because that's what I know best, are not taking responsibility and don't feel accountable for the collapse of the housing market.
Yeah.
And I was a broker at the time, and I was in the middle of that. And I'd say to people, you cannot afford this loan. It was a 327, for all of you who maybe not realize 3 years was fixed, the 27 was a variable. And I'd say, let's push the calendar ahead 37 months, and can you afford that monthly payment? And they go, well, no. I said, I know you can't. So why are we engaging in something now when in 37 months you're going to have a real heartache? Yes, but. And as soon as you get into the yes, but thing, if they don't want to look at that. So here we are all these years later, and all these houses are going into foreclosure, and all these people are moving with their parents, and the place is a big mess. They are still saying, well, if only I had the money. The money wasn't the problem. It's the way you dealt with it that's the problem, and still don't deal with it now.
It sounds like the Scarecrow, if I only had a brain.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry. Sorry you left me open to do that, Peggy. We're going to take a quick break, Peggy. We'll come right back to you. Peggy Burdick is our guest. She's an expert on financial matters, a coach, an author. The Financial Whisperer is her approach, and that's her title. The book is It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. It's available on Amazon.com. Stay right there. We will be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, and I am very much enjoying my conversation that you are eavesdropping on with Peggy Burdick. She is our guest, the Financial Whisperer, and she's written the book, It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money, and the website is thefinancialwhisperer.com. Boy, there's just so much here, Peggy. I mean, we could talk for 3 hours. I was thinking on the break to come back, you know, the thing that I want to ask you, here's my asking you a question that would be very helpful to me. As I'm talking to couples and we're talking about their finances and I'm trying to help them figure it out, sometimes I find myself, and I'm not licensed or trained to do this, but I find myself in a bit of a counselor role. What would you suggest I do sometimes? Because when I'm realizing that there's a big gap between the couple, or it's not about the money. You know, I'm trying to do the planning, and I see there's something else there. What do you suggest I do? Can I actually say, hold on, let's talk about this issue?
Well, you can do anything you want. Here's the big problem, and I had this conversation yesterday with someone, a guy who was trying to explain how they spent $5,000 on a puppy, okay? And that's the store, but the point, and I said to him, listen, I always say that financial problems in a marriage is a gift. And everyone raises their eyebrows. Oh, how could that be? Because it's about intimacy and it's about trust. Those couples, for the most part, didn't have a financial conversation before they got married. Maybe they talked about kids, probably. They talked about religion, you know, probably. Money, taboo, never touched it. But money is the silent partner in a marriage. So fast forward, you got people sitting in front of you trying to figure out their future and their planning, and you feel
oh, yeah.
Tension,
I
right?
feel it. Oh, yeah. I'm going to start bringing a knife to these meetings to cut the tension. Yeah.
But here's the thing, is that for you to be authentic and to be able to look at these people and say to them, I feel the tension and the distrust the two of you have.
Oh, that's good.
What you should be doing is that you need to have a tete-a-tete with each other to sit when there's no one else around, your kids are in bed, your kids are away for the weekend, whatever. And it's a hard conversation to have, but you need to tell each other about your history about money. What does money represent? How do you feel when you watch each other doing goofy things with money or not spending money at all because you're afraid to it? You're being too cheap or whatever it is, but to force yourself to confront your partner. Right, you signed on for this for your life. You may take a vow. You have to live it. And as you share the stuff that's really, really sensitive with each other, you'll be surprised, A, what you learn, and B, that it's about trust. If you can't trust each other, what are you doing married to each other?
Amen.
It's cold water, I know that, but that's the reality of it. Don't do that then.
Well, I tell you what occurs to me. I'm gonna read your book. I'm looking forward to it. I got into it a little bit before we did the program, and I'm gonna be reading the whole thing because there's a lot of good perspective. The book is It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. Because I can see making your book available to certain clients when I'm meeting with them and saying, you know what, we're gonna pause this financial planning conversation until you've addressed this other issue, because it's just, and I can tell you. I want to tell my listeners, if they're not on the same page financially, they're not clear with each other, or one feels like they have all the responsibility and the other one's in the dark, you know, you got to get there, and we need to talk about that and get on the same page before we start trying to build a financial plan, especially since women on average, you know, might live another 4 or 5 years longer than their equal age partner.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's like anything else. If you're raising a child and both of you don't agree on boundaries or certain issues or how to deal with things, what happens? You have a kid that's very mixed up. The child does not have a sense of security and trust. So it's with any relationship that a couple is going to have, with the dog, with the in-laws. How do you manage your in-laws when they're intrusive? Same thing. Right.
With a really big stick. That's what we use. All right, Peggy, we're going to take another short break. We'll come right back. Stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back. We're joined by Peggy Burdick, who is the Financial Whisperer. She's written the book, It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. And the website is thefinancialwhisperer.com. Peggy, you know, I think one of the things that our listeners would be interested in hearing about is that you didn't just sit down one day and say, okay, I'm going to write a book because this is an interesting topic. This is a lot about, of course, your personal life experience, but also having dealt with a lot of women yourself, you know, where you met a lot of women in your previous work as a mortgage broker. And you saw how, you know, there was a lot of women who had mismanaged their finances, either of their own, you know, construction or with the help of a spouse. And you saw a lot of women coming out of abusive relationships that didn't have the support from their estranged husbands. And that really is, I think, from what I can understand from looking at your background, that's what really struck you to write this book and to try to help other women understand this and deal with it.
Well, yeah, because we have this huge sisterhood. And I really think, I try to track it back because I'm a child of the 70s. Or 60s. I always get mixed up what that is. I was born before 1950. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah, most people in the 60s and 70s get all that mixed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like our brain now is like cottage cheese. But anyway, what I remember back when is that when Happy Rockefeller, she was the first woman who really went public with breast cancer. And then it was Betty Ford. And it was through illness that women started to really come out of the shadows, and instead of finding each other competitive and threatening, because women grew up with kind of a scarcity mentality, they realized the person that was going to take care of them was going to be another woman. And I think that, fueled with everything that was going on with women's liberation and all of that, really started to come together to realize that my best ally is going to be another woman. Not to say that men don't participate and do certain things, but at the end of the day, what men worry about is not what women worry about. We worry about being alone and broke, and we worry about being physically overpowered. That's really scary stuff, and men don't relate to that. Just don't. But instead of focusing on the negative, focusing on the positive, and how do I reach out to all of my sisters with my hand and say, listen, I'm just 2 feet ahead of you,
right
around the corner, right? I did it. You can do it. It's not easy, but it takes courage, determination, sometimes desperation. But I'm here for you. We are all here for each other. You have to step forward, though, and take my hand. Can't do it for you. You know, the lead a, what was that famous Dorothy Parker line? You can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think, right? You remember that one? But the point is that I can't push a rope. I can't make someone do something. I can put it in front of them. I can tempt them. I can try to motivate them. But they have to reach out and say, you know what? I need this. I want this. Please help me.
And you know what else, Peggy? Right in line with that, when I've worked with people, one of the things we insist on, which I'm sure you would agree with, is when I'm working with a couple, you know, it's not unusual that one of the spouses, and it's and not unusual at all that it's also the man who is who comes in and maybe the one who's more involved with the finances. And if they come in the first time, you know, I'm looking behind them, looking for the other person, and and so they can do that one time, they can get away with that one time, and I say, okay, the next meeting, your spouse is coming, or we can't really do this.
Exactly.
And I really want to stress to our listeners that especially the women, and I've written about this recently with a column in Floridian View Magazine, which is a local magazine we have here in Volusia County, that women need to get involved. And you talked before with me about this locus of control. If you're not aware and involved in something, and you'll have, if you're not in control, it what? It controls you, right?
Yeah, what you don't know controls you, right? And women have a lot of shame. Let me just make this one point. David, women have a lot of shame, which is why they don't automatically come with their husband. They've acquiesced. They take care of X. The husband takes care of Y. And they don't have an equal marriage in many ways.
Well, and you know what's amazing about that is, and this is, of course, the point that I stress, and I could give a number of examples from my practice over the last 15 years that the women, they survive the man, and it's now, I'm sitting down with them, and it's now, it's their money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they, you know, the thing that I sometimes say, and it's tongue-in-cheek, is that the man is a temporary custodian.
You know, it's funny you should say that, David, because Susan Pinker wrote a book on how our genes, and I'm obviously making this a very short sentence, how our genes are created, and when she did all of this research, she found, in fact, that women's genes were designed to last longer. Men's genes were designed to be short-lived. So really, for procreation, the man is needed for a very short period of time because the rest of it is a woman's responsibility, really. So that's why nature made women very hardy and men very fragile in terms of their genes, not in terms of their physical makeup,
right. But
inside what goes on with you. Which is one of the reasons why men die sooner, is nature has said, who needs you? You know, you were here for procreation. Goodbye.
We need you to be here, and you need to be vigorous, you need to be strong, but not long term.
Exactly.
Well, I think, but that's why it's so important, and I'm stressing this, and my listeners have heard me talk about this, but it is so vital for women, especially because of the generational differences. It's, you know, of course, you talk about a pair of 20-year-olds versus a pair of 60 or 70-year-olds old. It's obviously a huge difference. So I'm speaking to the women and the couples where they may not be as involved. Get involved because you know what would be absolutely one of the worst things is that if the husband does pass first, they don't even know where the money is.
Well, yeah, but you see, here's the thing. The wife... And I really, my job, quite frankly, is a lot easier than your job because you're trying to get them to even pay attention, to admit there's an issue. When people come to me, they're already saying, oh, my God, I really need help. So for you to even to be able to say to someone, to broach the topic and say, you know what, you have a problem. You need to look at it. And if they're in denial, you're not going to get through to them, and they're not going to be a long-term client for you. That's one of the problems I have with a lot of financial planners that I deal with, is that in order for you to get a long-term client, if you have to connect with them on an emotional level, but if they're not letting you in, you know, you can be kind of traded off for somebody else, a newer model.
You can be incredible and not be long-term or accepted.
Exactly, because they don't appreciate it. They don't understand it because they're not letting you into them.
I got it, Peggy. That's good advice. Thank you. That's good advice for me. Thank you. Peggy Burdick is our guest today, and she is the Financial Whisperer. The book is It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money, and the website is thefinancialwhisperer.com. The book is available on Amazon. Peggy, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Stay right there.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we're back. Peggy's back with us. Peggy Burdick. She is the financial whisperer. And the book is It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money, thefinancialwhisperer.com. Peggy, we've got just a couple minutes here left. Let's give them the final information they need to know about not only taking control of their money, which is really more, it was really about taking control of their life and being, you talked about being authentic. Share with our listeners what that's about.
Well, here's the thing, and this is probably what the book is about, is that I say to people that when you're born, and this is not, I got this from Susan Piver, whose book is How Not to Be Afraid of Your Own Life, that when babies are born, they seek warmth, closeness, and acceptance. It's a universal experience. When they don't get it, they experience it as rejection, and they become fearful. I take that a step further and go, you know what? That creates a double track in someone's life, a track of being authentic, this is what I want, this is how I feel, and a track of adaptation. Is what do I have to change or be different in order to get my needs met?
Mm.
Those two tracks parallel through your entire life.
So there's your true self, and then there's a self, the actress or actor that you must
yes.
be to get
well
to
said.
To interact with the world.
Right, to get your needs met. But meanwhile, you're not 5 years old anymore. You're 45 years old. You can totally get your needs met. You can go down the street and get a container of milk. But the five-year-old doesn't feel competent. So when I use the word authenticity, it's about being who you truly, truly are. And it runs kind of like the sewer system in a city. Underneath, that stuff is going on, but above it, where the cars are driving, they're going at the same pace. So as you develop psychologically, material, all of that is present day. But emotionally and spiritually, you're still 5 years old. And that's what people have to start looking at, is how did I feel in those years? You know, so often people say the childlike way, not childish, but childlike way. What are they really talking about? They're talking about innocence. They're talking about a time in your life when you didn't worry about all these other things because your life and your world was so small. All you worried about is your brother's going to take your bike, what's for dinner, where's the dog, you know, I want to go swimming, I want an ice cream. That's all kids think about when they're 5 years old. Have feelings.
Well, you've left it with a good summary there, Peggy, and we're going to encourage our listeners. Peggy Burdick is our guest. The book is It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. Unfortunately, we've used all of our time, Peggy.
I'm sorry. That's great.
No, it's wonderful, thefinancialwhisperer.com, and you stay on the line. I'll talk to you after we get off here. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We'll be back.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.